So hi, Home Big Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Alex from First and Forever. What's up, guys?
And there are some questions to say about their upcoming EP, If We Go Down. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel the response, the announcement so far?
Okay, so I have to be honest about that announcement. Did you guys see the announcement?
Yes.
Okay, so this is what happened. Mm-hmm. We just announced our brand new EP, If We Go Down, dropping June 14th. The title single on it is like, it's nothing you've heard from First and Forever before. It's like a big rock song. Like it's got this twinkly guitar riff right on the front. I mean, it's my favorite song we've ever done. So let me start with that. Mm-hmm. But I made a mistake.
Yes.
And let me tell you what I had done. Mm-hmm. So I knew that we were going to like announce this song, and I knew that we were going to put it out with the song Rivers, which is out now. Go check out Rivers. But what I didn't remember is the day in which that song was supposed to come out, which is also the day that we were going to announce the EP. Mm-hmm. So I wake up on, last Wednesday morning to a flurry of text messages at like 6 a.m. from my Eastern time partners. And they're like, great song. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot. I completely forgot the song was coming out. We had no idea that Rivers was coming out. And so I was like, I did not prepare for this moment. And it was 6 a.m. and I had no idea what to do. I was like, do I make a video? Like, I look terrible. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do a notes app thing. Mm-mm. Like, I'm just gonna notes app this and see what happens. So I made this joke notes app post that was like, hey everyone, you know, as you know, every band must come to an end. And I made this joke notes app and I put it up. It was the laziest promotion of any song that's ever happened by far. Like it was out of pure laziness that I had forgotten our song was coming out and I did it. And lo and behold, that was the most engaged with post on the First and Forever social medias of all time. And like zero thought went into it. Like it was just like, I'm just going to put this out. Like the band didn't know I was doing it. Like I just did it. Like the band doesn't even have social media access and I just did it. And it turned out it worked. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah. I saw that shit and I fell to my knees and then I kept reading and I was like, oh, fuck this. And I streamed the song.
There was so many angry comments and then they were like, but the song's sick. So I'll forgive you. And I was like, all right, thank you. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, people were angry about that one, but you know, the EP is coming out June 14th. If we go down, I shared with you guys the title track, didn't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The two tracks that aren't out.
Beautiful.
Great songs. I really like Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
It's heavy as fuck.
That song's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
We were thinking about putting that out as a single. So there's a song in the EP. It's called Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. That's the fourth track on the record, I think. And we were thinking about putting that as the single instead of Rivers. And my girlfriend looked at me and was like, you're going to scare someone. Like you're going to scare people if you put that out as a single. And I was like, you're probably right.
That's the point.
You know, we like screaming in songs. Like, and you know, it's funny because on the records, almost all the screaming is done by Marcus. And then we go on stage and I just have no control over my body and just start screaming and then I lose my voice every night. So it's a fun little thing that goes on.
A fun little game.
Yeah. I have noticed you just kind of lose control on stage. It's wild. Mm-hmm. Like to watch you move. Cause there's zero thought to anything going on stage.
No, it's awesome.
There's zero thought. Like it's so funny because like, we'll go see like, okay, perfect example. Mm-hmm. I mean, no shade by this, but I went and saw Paramore. Like a few weeks ago, incredible band, loved it. And she was up there and she was doing like a full-on dance routine. Like this was practiced. Every single movement, every single thing that was going on stage was fully rehearsed. Mm-hmm. And I remember turning to my buddy and I was like, yeah, we're not doing that. Because there is no plan on stage when we go up there. It's just like the band knows what song we're playing and then God takes over. And I don't... Like I just go up there and I just like lose all control of my body. And like, sometimes it works out. Most of the time it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. We did an emo night here in Phoenix this weekend and I learned a very valuable lesson. So there was to your point of like, I don't know what's going to happen. as I was up there, I noticed there was something on the ceiling that I could hang from.
No.
Now, I've hung from this specific thing before. Well, I didn't realize when I got up there that they had put tape. So there's like handholds. They had put tape to cover the other handholds. So I go up, I'm hanging on it, and I go to put my hand in. There's nothing to grab onto. I fell from the ceiling straight onto my back at an emo night.
My
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. I'm alive, but it was bad.
I'm
But
glad you're okay.
yeah.
yeah, I fell. I learned never doing that again. Stood up, kept going, but like everyone was just like,
Are you
you
good?
know. So it was a whole thing. But yeah, I don't know what I'm doing on stage. I just go out and have fun. And I think that's honestly the best thing for the show too, because you never know what you're gonna get at a First Forever concert.
True. I
Absolutely.
would probably start laughing my ass off if you started doing like some choreographed dance like fucking Hayley Williams. Like I
Right.
would just I can't even lie, dude.
It would be strange though, right? Like if it was choreographed, because like you know, back in like the metalcore, like crabcore days, they would have those like, and even today they have like the predetermined like jumping parts where the whole band jumps and they go into crabcore mode. Like if our band did that, it wouldn't make any sense. Like I just wouldn't be able to do it. So yeah, I have no idea what's going on stage at any given moment.
I actually saw Attack Attack last night, and they have
Yeah.
abandoned the crabcore stance. The dude in front of me, though, kept doing the crabcore stance
Good, at least someone
during every
was.
single breakdown, so he kept the spirit alive, but the band themselves just
Why would Attack Attack even exist if they don't
without the
have
crab?
crabs?
Exactly. They do still feed into the crabs because they were selling crab foam hand thingies.
I
The
love
bit,
that.
yeah. So
I love
they
that.
haven't abandoned the crab entirely, but they weren't. I mean, they're a little older now too, so like maybe they can't get that
Maybe they're a
low.
little
Yeah,
knees. They can't do
yeah.
it anymore.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
And I do want to ask, when
Yeah.
you just kind of let your body kind of just go crazy on stage, does that help with your nerves? Is that kind of like a thing where you just kind of turn off your brain so you don't think about
Oh,
it too hard?
1,000%. In some way, it's the stage performance that I do, which I think is like, it's a little unique. It's really almost like a protection for me. Like it's almost like a little shield for me when I'm up there. I feel so less vulnerable when I'm moving around. Like, you know, I give credit to the bands that can get up there and just stand in front of the mic and just sing. That fucking terrifies me. Like to just be up there and singing. And so for me, I feel so much more comfortable if I'm moving around. I feel like I'm much more into the performance if I'm moving. And I think the other part about it, I think this is the biggest part, and this is a personal preference, is you know, when I go to a show and the singer's just standing there singing the song, my first thought is always, if I wanted to hear you perform the music, I would just listen to your record. Like, I'm here to see a show. Like, put on a show for me. So, you know, something our band really, really finds important is that we go out and we put on a show every night. Now, do I get incredibly tired after every performance? Yes. Do I lose my voice after every performance? Yes. Like, can I move at the end of the night? No, absolutely not. But it's for the show, and I think that our music requires it too. You know, just we're trying to bring back, I mean, as you guys know, that emo thing, and I just think it's better. And the other thing is like when you're an opening, you know, we're in the stage now where we're a support band, we're supporting other acts. Our job is to make sure the crowd is feeling it, and we want to get the crowd into it and make sure that they're hyped and ready for the main act, and so that's all part of it.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
You are definitely like top of the list for craziest like opening bands that I've seen, just with the amount of energy that you bring. Because usually with opening bands, it's either they're reserved because, you know, they're small, they're shy or whatever, or that's just how they want to be on stage. Or they're you and they go fucking batshit crazy and get the crowd hype and ready for the main performance. And you guys always, I mean, the 2 times that I've seen you guys always fucking crush it. So it's
Yeah.
crazy.
Well, thank you. And I mean, that's all part of it, right? Is like, it's our job to go out there and do that. And there's no better compliment in the entire world. We get these almost every night. And every time I just get so pumped when someone comes up to me and goes, I have no idea who you guys are, but you guys are fucking awesome. Like,
Hell yeah.
And people think they're like offending me when they're saying like, I don't know who you are. And it's the exact opposite. Cause that's why we're on tour. It's like, we want to be exposed to new exactly. fans and have people meet us. So like no better compliment in the world than I don't know who you are, but you're great. So we'll take yeah. those any day.
Oh yeah.
Perfect. I love that. Yeah. So back to the EP. Is there any meaning behind the EP title or cover art?
Yeah. So If We Go Down so the whole record, touches on a lot of different things, and it really, a lot of the songs cover death in some way, or being scared of death, or whatever it might be. You know, you think of the song Eulogy, that's an ode to an ex of one of ours. I'm not going to get into too much detail who passed away, and the feelings that you have after a loved one passes, and the things mm-hmm. that you wish that you could have said, and the things that you did say that you regret. You think of a song like I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. And that's our guitarist who has this crazy fear of every time he gets sick that he's going to die. So mm-hmm. it's kind of an ode to Taking Back Sunday, right? Like, I've got a bad feeling about this, but it's really a true thing. It's like, I don't feel well. And it's just that slippery slope of like, I don't feel good. Am I going to die? And so If We Go Down really sits on that topic as well. And it's really... just being in love with someone and not being able to let them go. And the lyric is, you know, if we go down, we're going to go down together. Like, if I fall, you fall. And so in some ways, it's a very romantic kind of Romeo and Juliet-esque song, which is fun. So it's really all about death. You can see the knife and the rose in the First and Forever symbol. Again, kind of that Romeo and Juliet type of vibe where it's like, we are connected as life partners. And if I die, you're coming with me. So yeah, that's kind of the idea behind it. But, you know, that record is really special to us. We think If We Go Down is going to be very different from anything that we've done before. Again, it's a little bit more poppy, a little bit more of a rock song, less than kind of the emo tinged songs that you've heard before on the record. But we're really excited for it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Awesome.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the EP?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are blessed with the John Lennon of the emo generation, also known as our guitarist, Marcus Leppard. Mm-hmm. So before, we used to write songs. We would like go in a room and struggle to write songs. And, you know, I would be contributing a bunch of shit and he would. And we just kind of like clash. It's hard to write songs, right? And then back after the Let This Love Lie Dead EP, we had worked with Courtney Ballard. We talked about him before. We worked with him. And our guitarist, Marcus Leppard, just gained so much confidence in his songwriting. I'm not joking. He just like delivered five full songs to us and was like, here's our EP. Learn how to sing it. So I'm basically Shit. Just singing Marcus Leppard karaoke every night on stage, which is great. But, you know, in terms of his writing process, I can really speak to it is he comes out with a fully fledged song basically from start to finish. And then he's like, what do you guys think? David will come in and write drums. I'll come over the top and change a few lyrics here and there, change some melodies. And then we go into the studio and really craft it. So, you know, for him, it's Marcus is really the classic, tortured soul emo type. You know, he's got that beauty, that lyricism just inside of him that just kind of mm-hmm. spills out. You never know when it's going to happen. Like, it'll be one day you'll just wake up and you'll have three new songs that he wrote from midnight to 5 a.m. the night before. And then you might not hear another one for a month, mm-hmm. like, or 2 months or 3 months. But it's just, it's so, yeah, when he does do it, it's amazing. So, you know, we're blessed to have him and he's an incredible writer.
Hell yeah. That's Hell yeah. fucking awesome. I love yeah. it. So I want you to tell us your favorite lyric off this EP and what it means to you.
Oh, man. Favorite lyric off the EP. You know, I know we've done this before, and I always forget the lyrics whenever we do it. But if you put me on the stage, I could sing them for you. But if you ask me to what they are right now, I honestly have no clue what they are. So, all right. Hold on. I'm gonna do something that's probably bad. I'm gonna search our lyrics.
No, it happens all the time.
You know what? It's gonna be in Go Down. I would say that first verse of Go Down is my favorite lyric probably on that record. I've always been afraid of the twilight, but when I look at you, I see daylight. I've waited for forever for the sunrise, because when you're not around, it's always midnight. Run away, run with me. So it's a really like kind of fun play on words of you know, the changing of time and light to darkness. And it was just a really clever lyric playing with it, twilight, daylight, everything like that, that Marcus did. So I would say that's it. Again, go down the title track from the new record.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
And because Marcus did like write all of these songs and write the lyrics and everything for you, when you're singing them, when you're performing them, are you able to kind of give your own meaning to them, to kind of connect yourself to them?
1,000%. You know, Marcus's father gave me one of the best compliments I've ever received. We were playing a song in Utah, and I had walked up to him and I said something similar. I was like, you know what, your son is an incredibly talented songwriter. Like, you know, I'm just so thankful for him. He's great. He goes, you know what, man, his songs don't work unless they have a medium and a channel through which they're performed. And you bring that every night. Like, we can feel it. Like, and so for me, it's, I channel those songs every single night and put my own feeling and emotion behind them. And that's why our band works so well, right? It's like, I'm able to kind of bring to life the words and the lyrics and the melody that Marcus writes.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like a toxic relationship in some way between him and I, not really toxic, but you know what? It's one of those things where it's like, we both need each other so bad. And on my own, I couldn't do it. And, you know, I think Marcus would say if he was here that he couldn't do it without me. And then David's the glue that holds us all together. So it's kind of a cute thing, but you know, it's every night, it's just me going up there and channeling those songs that I, you know, I've come to love. And so just figuring out how I can perform those the best.
Fucking love it.
Yeah.
So what song off this EP took longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
The longest to write. Okay. I'm going to change your question a little bit. I will tell you which one took the longest to record.
There you go. Yeah.
And that would be I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. And the reason why is that song was written like 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Okay. So we were that song. And if we go down, both of these songs were actually written for our last EP, the Till Death Do Us Part EP. So they were both written for that. And it just, for Go Down, we just didn't think it made sense with the feeling of that record, because that record was like very, I mean, you think Sick Little Games, right? That's like mall emo classic shit, right? Like a Go Down is this big, kind of like bombastic, big rock song, you know, it's got like these little twinkly delay guitars in the front. It just didn't really make sense. And so that one got kind of shelved. We're like, we'll do this later. We really like the song because it makes sense here. I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. Marcus writes the song and sends it to me and David. And me and David immediately 4 years ago, like, this is the fucking best song you've ever given us. Like, this is so up our alley. Like, this is the first and forever song. Like, this is what we do well, right? Like, hard, fast, emo pop punk, like we know how to do this song. And he's just like, man, I don't really like it. I don't want to do it. And we were just like, me and David were like, what do you mean? This is like the best thing you've given us. This is like perfect for us. And he was like, don't really like this one. And so we didn't do it on Sick Little Games, and finally, or on the Till Death Do Us Part EP. So finally on for this new EP, If We Go Down, before we went to the studio, me and David basically sat Marcus down and we're like, we're doing this song.
Yep.
You don't have a choice. Like, you can pick another song that's like the song that you want on the record. Totally fine. We're choosing this one because it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So we do the song in the studio, and even in the studio, it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if I like it. And then we get the mix back and he's just like, okay, you guys were right. This song's a fucking banger. So once he got it back, it was like, it's a banger. And you know, the response to that song has been amazing. People have really liked it. It's performed really well so far for us, which we're super stoked on, and continues just to be better and better. And again, is like kind of like one of those preeminent first and forever songs. So I know I changed your question, but that one took, it was about 4 years in the making get that one written and recorded.
Damn.
And your favorite.
Yeah. And it's like one of my favorites, and one of my favorites to perform too. So love it.
Nice.
Perfect. All right. So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this EP?
So when we're in the studio, honestly, being in the studio is like one of my favorite places to be. You know, like when I think about being in a band, right? I feel like there's like three main things. There's like recording, there's playing shows, and then there's everything else. I love recording. I love playing shows. I fucking hate everything else that goes with being in a band. Like it, like, you know, like I used to love like social media and like doing TikToks and all that. And now I'm just so lazy and I'm just like, you know, I know I got to do it and I love it. I love connecting with the fans and stuff like that. But like, I love recording and I love playing shows. Like, that is why I'm in this band. Those are the two favorite things I like to do. So when we were recording that EP, you know, I think our headspace as a band is so collaborative. We're so excited to be there. And honestly, like on the If We Go Down EP, we did it again. It's our third record with Courtney Ballard. We went out to LA, lived there for 2 weeks, did it, you know. It's like one of those just moments where you're just connecting so purely as a band and you feel like you're really moving towards something and you're creating something from nothing. And for us, it was by far the best experience we've had because we've just gotten better as a band. We know what we like. You know, there's no like fighting like you hear in for some bands when they're in the studio. Like, we just know what we want as a band. And so I think headspace-wise, honestly, it was very positive and just a really exciting time.
Good.
That's awesome.
Very
Hell
happy to
yeah.
hear that.
So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this EP for the first time? Should they do it in the car with a friend, dark with headphones on? Is workout EP party EP? What do you personally recommend?
Oh, I think it depends on the song. Like, I think it depends on the song. Let me give you an example. If We Go Down, the title track. That is a driving down the highway, full blast, windows down song. Like, that is like, that's a big tune. That's a, you know, play it, you and all your friends sing along in the car type of tune. And then you have Bloody Mary, and it's like, I shouldn't tell my friends I like this song because they'll think something's wrong with me type of song. So that's like a in the closet, headphones on, so your mom doesn't hear type of song, right?
Yes.
I've got a bad feeling about this is like the you're at the show and you hear that song's on, you're like, it's they're fucking playing it, they're doing it type of song. Like, you know, they're going for it. I'm going crazy on stage. And then Eulogy is just that kind of like little sweet little pop ditty that you know is fun to sing. So I think it depends on the song. You know, I think this record has a lot to offer. I think it's a little bit more unique and diverse from other records that we've done before. I think you look at Let This Love Lie Dead, it was really more of a pop punk record. If I look back on it, Till Death Do Us Part was our true like emo record. Like, that was our mall emo record. And I think this one has bits and pieces of all of it. But there's a couple, I feel like, just kind of big rock songs on it, which is fun. So, you know, we like to change, we like to stay the same. We know what we're good at. And, you know, we like to take risks every once in a while. So, you know, again, I think there's a lot of different ways to listen to the new record.
Oh yeah.
Fuck yeah, awesome. So this one should be super, super quick off the top of your head. I want you to describe this EP for new listeners in three words, no more, no less.
Surprising, emo, and can I use like a qualifier word, but it's like doesn't count. It's fucking exhilarating, okay?
Okay.
That's
All right.
one
Yeah.
word.
Well,
It's like
yeah,
a
that's fine.
dash word, right? It's like fucking dash exhilarating. So it's one
Exactly.
word.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's
All right.
perfect. It
Does that
fits.
work? All
Yeah.
right.
We'll
Deal.
take it. Yeah.
So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have of going through the EP?
Yeah. I think it's not reminiscing. It's like a, it'll work. It's, I want them to be very thoughtful. I want them to, like, what the record is about, again, is it's all very much connected to death and the fear of death and the fear of change. And so just being very thoughtful as you're listening to it and hearing the record, hearing the lyrics and knowing what they're about and just, you know, making sure that you hug everyone you love.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. Perfect. So, are you able to talk about any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this EP, positive or negative?
Yes, I can. Singing Bad Feeling live is literally fucking impossible. Like, it cannot be done. So, that would be one. So that song on the record is a certain tuning, and we play it live. We have to down tune it because it is so high, and there is no breaks in that song. Like, when you go back and listen to that song, it's like basically like this like yelling, screaming melody thing the whole time. There's not a single break in the song, and I'm hitting like the highest notes I've ever hit. So like, if I'm in the studio and I can take like a full breath, like, okay, I can easily hit that note. You guys have seen me on stage.
There is not, you
Like,
don't breathe in the 30 minutes, I think.
yes, exactly. There's no breathing. There's no like break. There's no like standing still, like getting ready for this upcoming thing. So it is just like constant chaos. And I have no breath and I am out of breath and I'm sweating. And it's just like this whole thing. And so that song is impossible to sing live. So we down tune it. The listener, the average listener can't tell that it's even down tuned, but we down tune it a half step so that it's actually like a performable song, because otherwise it's just gonna be my voice cracking for, 2 minutes and 58 seconds. So
Music to my
I'll say
ears.
that.
So for this last question, replacing the band in a horror movie, who is dying first and who's going to survive until the end?
Okay, this is an easy one. The two of them gang up on me and feed me to the fucking wolves, so I'm easily the first one dead. Like, no questions asked. I'm the lead singer. They're for sure getting rid of me first. In what
They're gonna
band
feed you
is?
because you don't carry the gear in. It's easy.
Yeah, exactly. I literally have no useful skill to our band other than being like the front man, acting like a psycho and singing. I have no useful qualities. I don't know how our gear works. I can't record music. Like, I don't know how to use the computer. I can't do anything. Like, I don't, the only thing that I have in this band is the social media account passwords. That's it. I have nothing else to offer. So I'm the first one gone. They get rid of me immediately. Like, it's like they like look at each other and just like push me over to Freddy or Jason. Like, just take him and then we'll run, right? Like, have your way with him. After that, they formed an alliance, but I think Marcus is the next one dead because I think David's the most resourceful out of the three of us. So he's very sneaky, he knows how things work. Very thoughtful guy. Again, the glue that holds our band together. So I think Marcus is the next one to go, just because he lacks the resourcefulness that David does. Like, I think if David was stranded in the woods, that he would survive. Marcus tells me that he's an Eagle Scout. I don't believe him though.
There's been no proof of
Yeah,
that.
I do not believe him. So I think Marcus is the second one to go. I think he lasts a while, but ultimately is taken. And David, comes home with PTSD. So,
Perfect.
wow,
All right.
perfect end of the story.
Yeah. So as I said, that's all the questions you have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
No, but I do have a topic. So, Glory,
Yes.
we need to talk about the trolley Brightcrawler sensation that you have started in Richmond, Virginia.
What's up with that?
You know what's up with that. You threw sour gummy worms at our first show in Richmond onto the stage, and I threw them out. Like, I was a king in the Middle Ages throwing golden coins down to the peasants,
It was
and they
crazy.
ate them up just as ferociously.
Yeah, that was a little scary. I saw
Yeah.
people picking them up from the ground and eating them. I
Oh,
was like,
yeah.
you know
Like,
they don't
I was
clean that
taking
floor.
handfuls of these sour gummy worms and just throw. No one's liked our band more than that moment. And people were like hands in the air trying to catch these sour gummy worms.
I'm
And
surprised
I
like a
was like,
brawl
I am
didn't
a
break
king.
out.
This must be what it feels like to be a rock star. Mind you, no one gave a fuck about our music. They just wanted the sour gummy worms. Fast forward to our next show in Richmond. Not only did you bring sour gummy worms, I had two other people throw sour gummy worms bag on stage. Did you not know this?
What
Yes, I had two other separate, you guys were not together, like two other people come with sour gummy worms. So I had three bags of sour gummy worms on stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you started
Shit.
a phenomenon in Richmond, Virginia, just so you know. I don't know if you knew that, but I thought that we had to talk about that before we left here.
Absolutely. Let's keep that shit going. I'll bring two next time. Two
Absolutely will.
pound bag things of gummy worms, man.
We will be back in Richmond We love Richmond. We love Philly. We love New Jersey. We love it all. So I love seeing you guys on the road. Thank you for supporting our band.
Of course.
To your question, though, you know, we're available on any social media that you can imagine. And the new songs and record will be out on June 14th on all streaming services. Check it out if we go down the title track and the final single off that record. And I have a feeling it's going to be a big one. So check it out.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, thank you. It's been Alex from First and Forever, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.